Okay, good morning. Before we go into prayer, and John, kind of help everyone that they come in late, but you should have the new sheet, and it is a day-by-day of the week of the, because if you picked up one this morning, the chronology, and if you'll notice, let me get if I can find my copy, but a seminary student did this in seminary, and Jack up there at the top, I left his name at the top on purpose so that you could you'd know who actually made up the chart. But does everyone have one of those? Okay, so that would be everyone here. That's the only thing new since last Sunday that we've handed out. And I'll have a few more as we go through, as we get further into the week of the last 10 days in the life of Christ. But let's begin with a word of prayer, ordering ourselves to why we're here, and preparing ourselves for a morning of worship. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is to live at the time in which we do. So many things happening in Europe. Army being put together, Heavenly Father. The coalition of the European powers. Things going on in the Middle East. And Father, we consider it a great privilege to live at the time in which we do. And we do not know the hour and the time when the church will be called home. And Father, we are to live each day the same. Each day walking in the Spirit. Each day worshiping you in spirit and in truth. So Father, we pray that this morning will be a morning of worship and glorifying to your Son, in whose precious name we pray. Amen. Let's sing.
To sing all four verses. Would you stand, please, with me?
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises that cannot fail, when the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. I'm standing on the promises of God.
Number three.
Standing on the promises of Christ the Lord, bound to Him eternal in the love's strong cord, overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises. Standing on the promises, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing on the promises, standing on the promises. I'm standing on the promises of God.
Last one.
Standing on the promises, I cannot fall. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call. Resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing. I'm standing on the promises of God.
Well, I have to tell you, I've received a couple of phone calls, well, one phone call and email, saying they really like it now that we put the singing on our tapes now. So I don't know why they... It's not the big choir, but they appreciate it, so that is nice. Okay, a little prayer time to let you know, if those of you that are prayer warriors. First of all, my friend Dana is down the street. Her little daughter, Alexis, came very sick Friday night and still doing very poorly. So please be in prayer for Don and Tony and Alexis. Let's see. Harold, how you doing? Good. Good to have you back again. You're looking good. All right. Please continue to be in prayer. We've got some things. First of all, we've been in prayer for Lonnie and Alta. Alta went home to be with the Lord. But continue to be in prayer for Lonnie. We pray. Often what Christians do, we pray somebody up to a point in their crisis. Okay, she's died. Now we move on. Well, Lonnie's still there. So please be in prayer for the Spirit's leading in regard to his life. Be in prayer to Romeo. Romeo and his family are having a lot of physical problems, financial problems. So be in prayer for Romeo. Be in prayer for Estelle. Estelle's just doing super. I mean, it's just amazing. She is sassy. She's demanding. She's walking around without any support and just doing really well and looking forward to coming back to church. So please continue to be in prayer for Estelle and whatever God is doing in that respect. Let's see. The Hallets have a good friend named Joe. And Joe's brother is a believer, but under a great deal of need of our prayer. So please be in prayer for Joe and for his brother at this time. And one of our monthly tapers, meaning getting all right, worships right here with us, as it were. Nancy Becker had a death in her family, and she's up in Iowa and going to the funeral and being with the family there. So please be in prayer for Nancy and the family at this time in that respect. Tish called this morning and asked for you to be, all of you, to join her in prayer. Tish is in Nashville and at a big meeting, and she's having a very important meeting at 11 o'clock this morning. So pray now. Don't wait till right at 11 when I'm teaching, but do be in prayer for the leading of the Spirit dash wisdom from her aspect, and then the Spirit opening the ears of the meeting that's going to be involved, and it's a very important one, so please be in prayer. She called and just specifically asked you to join her in prayer. Continue to be in prayer in regard to property. It's March, people, and so time is, the clock is ticking, and we're sent off a letter on one piece of property to see what the status is. But again, if you see anything or whatever, just be in prayer, whatever God is doing. And in regard to us finding a home, not that I'm not happy here anywhere, but I'm just saying, so please be in prayer in regard to that. God may wait until the two-minute drill, the end of the game, but if not, be nice. So please be in prayer in that respect. Yes? Well, Tish's lease here is up at the end of January. Of 05. And so that's what we're looking at. Okay. John and Dan. Now, John was here Sunday before last, those of you that were here. And I didn't comment on it last Sunday. I forgot to. But I just thought that was just totally uncalled for when he said I didn't say which Easter we would complete this study. And John and Dan went to Stewart's in Zambia and picked up John Friday, and then he flew out Saturday morning, picked him up Friday afternoon. And it was so successful. What happened, what was going on was the school, there's just so many things that I wish John was here to share with you personally instead of through me. But it was so effective because the school will not open, I think it's July or June, and what John and Dan did, they went there, and they just kept pounding and pounding and punching on salvation one by faith, salvation two by faith, faith in Christ, faith in the Holy Spirit. And John feels that Stuart not only definitely sees it, but also adheres to it. Now, here's the deal in your prayer. And we talked about this. Dan came in and his plane didn't leave till later, so we went and had something, a cup of coffee and stuff while waiting for Dan's flight to leave. But there's going to be a lot of different teachers come in. We'll call them in our camp, meaning, you know, evangelical and Bible church and that type of thing. They don't teach what we do. So the real test for Stuart, the real test, and the real test for those people, are when these other people come in, and men that he respects, and men that can walk in with credentials, and men that have supported him financially and speaking, and they're going to be coming in now, in the from now till in July, and then after that, and it's going to be a real battle, but as it stands right now. Stuart sees it, and his people. In fact, John, who, as you know, is a very, like me, very quiet, very calm. He had that whole group just answering back. I mean, he would just do it over and over several times. Be sure before he left, they knew faith in Christ, faith in the Spirit. As you're saved, walk. And they worked together so well. This is not coming down. I'm so happy you're here, but I don't know why what happens in the spirit during the week. But they knew that Dan and John were going to be there, they being the native people. And they just came from over 100 miles away, lived out in the, sleeped out in the alongside the brush. I don't know how they do that. Don't they know there's snakes out there? As Linus would say, there's queen snakes out here. At night, just to show you, there was no electricity, so there'd be a couple of candles at the entrance and exits, and John, and we'd say this in fun, and John said, it's so funny because you look out there and you don't see anything, because, you know, they're black and it's dark, and you just don't see anything, and he said, it is really a weird experience. He says, you hear them laugh sometimes. They would sit there for 2 hours in the dark. And they would do 2 hours in the morning, something in the afternoon, and then 2 hours at night. And while they were there, they went into the main city, Zacata, something like that. And Stuart had gotten John and Dan into a high school. Now, this was going to be at the very end. John and Dan retired, and they both had a physical reaction to things, and they retired. So it was just okay. We'll do this. And what happened was he went into the high school, and here. Several hundred high school students all speak English. English is the language that they teach there. And John said it was so unbelievable high for ending the trip. The kids were so responsive. And the hate of the whites in Africa is very strong, as you probably know. And so John had a great time and just telling them the future of Zambia lies with them. They can grow up and make it a racial thing, hate white, hate whitey, be this and do that. Or you can walk into Christ in the power of the Spirit, exemplify His love, and make this a great country. It's up to you. And it's up to you. One, your attitude about Christ, and secondly, and the kids' response was just superb. And when John got through, John, I didn't ask him how, at what points did he get it through his talk, but through his talk, he would go, he would say, now in Texas, where I'm from, we would go, yee-haw, on different things. So when he got through, now you got to remember, this is, nobody said, let's do it. They all just stood up and went, yee-haw. And and the principal and the people said, you can come back anytime. And Dan got to speak to the faculty and had a great experience being with the faculty. Back to Stewart's Zambia setup, the school, you saw pictures, those of you that were here. If you remember, when Stewart was here, he said, we got to get the roof because the rainy season's coming, if you might remember that. Well, they did, and the rain season came and collapsed. So the government inspection came in and said, okay, your roof does not meet our specifications. Don't you worry about it. We will send people to build it, and we will send the material. That's the government of Zambia. We will bring in our own people. We will complete your buildings. You have done such a phenomenal job. We will complete it. The United States Army has given them generators, things to work on a cess tank. And so things are just happening as far as the school is concerned. So be in prayer for Stewart. Please be in prayer spiritually. And Dan and John and I, we just been in prayer that because the battle is going to come now. And I'm so glad that, and we were glad that John and Dan went in, just the two of them. See, you get a lot of speakers, and that doesn't work. It just, you got one guy saying this, and one guy's on an agenda here. Dan and John had no idea what they were going to speak on. And so they would just go in, and sometimes John would speak first, and Dan would pick up right after it. Dan would speak first, and John would pick up right with it. And so they just got it all for about the 7 days. They just got it every day. I'm sorry? Let's see. Did he say? You know, Hess, I don't even think he said to me how many, and I didn't think to ask. I know that the building for the school is going to seat over 500. But I'm not sure what Stewart's Little Assembly Church seats. But I know that it was full, he said, and because they came from a long way, way around. There was a story of a Zambian. He's blind, totally blind, and had his family there. And so the church, he went to church at Stewart's and got involved in the Bible and with Christ, became a believer. And so the family moved away. He didn't want to move. And so Stewart said, okay, you stay here, and we'll put you and work with one of our something. I forget what he could do. Stewart just finds something for everybody's got. They have a tremendous number in this whole area, in whole Africa itself, but therefore down into villages, of like orphans whose parents have both died of AIDS, or one of the parents have died of AIDS. And so he's got that going. And so anyway, he fixed up something for the blind. And the sister came back to the village to live. And she just met with Stewart, and she said, I've got to understand why you would love and do all you did for my brother, and you didn't have to at all. He could have come with us and lived with us. We would have taken care of him. But he wanted to stay here, and she became a believer. And so there's just that, those kind of stories just multiplied. So please be in prayer for Stewart and for the entire school, his ministry. John and Dan in prayer now. They're back into their churches and their ministries. And so please be in prayer. Dan, as I told you a month or so ago, 2 months ago, fell 6 feet off of a ladder, and he had his arm in a cast for the trip, which has its complications with that, but he came through and did very well. So continue to be in prayer. Now, having said all that, are there any prayer requests that I'm not aware of? Any other ones? The Howletts, I've got their friend Joe. Anyone else? Okay, people, be in prayer for one another as we walk in the Spirit, as we strive in the battle in regard to walking in the Spirit. and witnessing to others in these areas. The Word of God declares, whatsoever man purposeth in his soul to give, so let him give, not grudgingly nor of necessity, for God loveth a gracious giver. Gracious giver is one who, first of all, is a believer in Christ, and then in the power of the Spirit, is led of the Spirit in regard to giving. So many things that we need to be doing, and spiritually, we want to build a building or have a building or have somewhere to meet, but we also got other things we need to be doing too. We need to have a meeting sometime after Easter and just start sending some money to Zambia. We need to start sending some money monthly to the Rileys in Mexico. That's just still an amazing story. Whereas you take in Zambia, in Stewart's Village and all around, he's getting a lot of attacks from the Jehovah's Witness, calling them Satan worshipers, calling them just all kinds of names to keep the natives away from him. And the Catholics are causing him a great deal of problems. Whereas with the Rileys, and God just, there's so many different things at each battlefield, but in Mexico, in the little villages where they go and just led so many to Christ, the priests in these little Catholic churches in the villages in Mexico where the Rileys go, they tell them, you go there for Bible teaching. You go listen to them for Bible teaching. So on one front, you've got attacking, and then on another front, you've got, no, you go listen to them. Even though they don't come to our chapel or the cathedral and all of that, you go listen when they have their Bible studies. And so it's a very powerful thing. Just different battles. Everything's different on different battlefields. It's never going to be the same. So there's so many things in that respect that we can at least be a part of in regard to our own life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we enter into this facet of worship, we're once again reminded of the spheres that are involved, the political, economic freedom we enjoy in America, and the cost of it. More Americans still dying weekly in the battlefield. There is so much turmoil in Europe, turmoil in the Middle East, battles, deaths. We value our freedom, and we are most appreciative for it. We cross that, Heavenly Father, with the great freedom wherewith we have been set free through the person and work of Jesus Christ on the cross. It is in this realm of freedom that we have eyes to use, how to see how to use our political, economic freedom, where to worship and why, marriage and why, where to live and why, what to do with our life and the brief existence we have on earth, the value of our life centered around Christ. So, Father, we pray now that you receive the offerings that we're about to give and that you will continue to use them to bring honor and glory to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords, even Jesus Christ our Savior, in whose precious name we pray. Amen. begin with a word of prayer. This morning we are going to look at the cursing of the fig tree. We want to understand why, what is going on with the cursing of the fig tree. And so we want to be in the power of the Spirit to lead us in our thoughts and understanding, opening our eyes, that we can see the things that are going on. Let's pray. A lot of battles going on spiritually in the warfare this morning. Heavenly Father, we present to you one of our own, Tish, in a battle in another state. Pray that you give her wisdom, calmness, peace, love, and open the ears of those who listen. Battles going on, churches where the truth is being taught. Battles going on in a multitude of churches where the truth is not being taught. But Heavenly Father, now, here, we pray that you will open our eyes to the things that you would have us to see in these last few days in the life of Christ. Not only see what's going on, Heavenly Father, in his life, but in the spiritual warfare, visible warfare, and in our own individual lives. To this end, Father, we do humbly pray in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, two things to bring you where we are. We have completed Friday night. Now, last week I gave you the last week of Jesus Christ, and it's in the date form, day-by-day form. It says page one at the top. Didn't really mean for that one to be up there, but it's there. And we have I've noted the difference in the Roman and Jewish time at the top of that page, and then we've noted Friday, and we've taken care of Friday, and we've taken care of Saturday. Now, on the chart, the week chart, day by day chart that you picked up this morning by Jack Jacobs, seminary student, and who understands also and adheres to the idea that the crucifixion being on Wednesday, that's the key to everything. What day is the crucifixion? And so I've explained last week, I'm not going to go through that every time. If you believe it's Friday, that's fine. Thursday, that's fine. And I asked John, I said, this when he was here last time, I said, you know, what day do you hold that Christ was crucified now? Have you changed or anything? Just interested. And he said, yes, I have. I've changed. I decided that he's crucified on Monday. And I said, Monday? He said, yeah, nobody else was saying Monday, so I thought I'd take Monday. Friday was taken. Thursday's taken. Wednesday's taken. So I just thought I'd go Monday. But so this gives you a nice little running chart that you can follow along on the events that are occurring. Now you'll see that we are in Sunday, and what he's done for you, the reason I like this, is at the top you've got Roman time, 12 midnight, and then below the nice and the day of the month, you've got the Jewish time, 6 to 6, 6 to 6, 6 to 6. So it makes it very easy, this time chart, to be able to follow through when everything is happening, how everything is happening in this respect. So, we have already covered now, we've taken care of Friday night. You remember that he was anointed by Mary, and this was at Bethany. Now, I've got you a map here. It's a crude map. But it's the best one that I could find to give you an idea of how everything is going to be. Now, here is Bethany. Well, first of all, here's Jerusalem. Get your bearing. There's Jerusalem right here. And so here is Bethany. Bethany is about a mile and five-eighths from Jerusalem. So from here to here is about a mile and five-eighths. And this is where he raised Lazarus from the dead. Caused all the problems, went out and did some things, came back, and on Friday night had his supper at Simon the Leper's house. And then he was anointed. Judas became very upset about this. We began to see a character of Judas in our study. Then day 9, he went to Bethphage, and that's right here. So you can see how he's going up here. Goes from Bethany right here up to Bethage right here. Then from Bethage, he will make his triumphal entry into the streets of Jerusalem. And it is actually Palm Sabbath, Palm Sunday, Roman Catholic, and we've kept on doing it because of the Roman Church. But if we study, just think about it, what's it about? It's about the coming of the King. That's a very Jewish thing, has nothing to do with the church. Sabbath, or Sunday, is important to us, Day of the Resurrection, but not to the Jew. Sabbath is the important day. So it's Palm Sabbath, if you want to be have it down right. And the reason what they were doing, they put their clothes down on the ground before him. There were two crowds, one crowd coming from Jerusalem, another crowd following him, two crowds. They would put their garments on the road as he would ride through on the donkey. One to cut down the dust. This is what you did for a king. This is what you did for a king. He laid it out. Then they would cut down branches and put them in the road. Same purpose, but important here is prophecy, because you go back to the Old Testament, and he is known as the branch. And we studied a lot of the verses in the Old Testament known as the branch. That's what this was about. So he goes in, then he went into the temple. You remember here, he not only cleaned the temple, most people know about the cleansing of the temple. What's very important, though, is the teaching in the temple. That's what is so important, the teaching in the temple. And he opened up, you remember, he opened things up for the Gentiles in that teaching. Makes the Jews even more upset. So we've got that going on. Now, we come to day 8. Day 8, Sunday, Nisan the 11th, begins at 6 p.m. Saturday evening to 6 p.m. Sunday. He goes back to Bethany because it's getting late, and now we come into Sunday morning. Now, the cursing of the fig tree, very important, because this is going to lay the groundwork for the teaching of Christ on the next morning, Monday morning. So we have to see and understand what's going on with the cursing of the fig tree. Now, Sunday morning, Jesus Christ is walking with his disciples to Jerusalem. He is hungry. He is hungry physically. And he sees, he sees a fig tree. Now, the thing about a fig tree is a fig tree, when the leaves are ripe, the fruit is ripe. That's how you know you got some good figs coming, when the leaves are ripe. Don't know how many of you have eaten figs off of a tree. My grandparents had a fig tree in their yard, and we used to eat them and then throw them at each other, and that's kind of got us in trouble. So he comes and he expects to see on this tree some fruit so that will satisfy his hunger. Now, if you have your Harmony of the Gospel booklet, so we can kind of work through this. Look at page 179. Page 179, help you through this. And what we're going to look at is Matthew 21. If you look at page 179 at the top, you got Matthew 21 and verse 17. I want you to drop down to verse 18. Matthew chapter 21, verse 18. So on page 179 of your chart of your Harmony booklet. Okay. Now let's start at verse 18. Now in the morning, so this is Sunday morning by our calculation. Now if you think he died Friday, you got different days. Each person, whether it's Friday, Thursday, or Wednesday, you've got to adjust everything for that time frame. So this is Sunday morning. Look what it says. Now in the morning, when he, Jesus Christ, returned to the city, Jerusalem, he became hungry. The Greek is, as he's coming in, he is hungry. Okay, Saturday after the entrance into Jerusalem, Jesus Christ left the city, went back to Bethany. We don't know where he stayed that night, but he went back to Bethany. Now, while walking Sunday morning, he becomes hungry. Becomes hungry. Now, I'm going to do it later, but I just want to remind you of our study in Samson. Boy, the parallels are just too awesome. And we had a great study in that, but Samson became hungry and thirsty. And so some things are happening with Samson, some things are happening here with Christ. He became hungry, very important. Now, want you to think about the number of times that Jesus Christ is said to be hungry or thirsty in the text. But we got a question. Did man or woman ever give him anything that satisfied him? The answer is no. You think about, well, what about the woman at the well? If you read the text, she didn't give him water. He asked her to, but as it turned out, she never gave him any. In fact, she walked away and left her pail there. Very important what's going on, but she left her pail there. So the point I want you to start thinking is, man has nothing to offer him. Man has nothing to offer him. Now, verse 19. And seeing a lone fig tree, not an orchard, just a lone fig tree there, by the road where people travel, so it's open to the public seeing it, he, Christ, came to it, the tree, and found nothing on it except leaves only, a facade, a whitewash. And he said to it, no longer shall there ever be any fruit from you. And at once the fig tree withered. Okay, what's going on here? What is going on with the cursing of the fig tree? This looks confusing. Why is this part of divine eternal scripture in this final hours, days in the life of Christ? This doesn't seem to make any sense. In fact, if we don't understand what's going on, there's a lot of things that's going to happen from Friday night until the crucifixion that aren't going to make sense unless we understand what's going on. Jesus Christ, he's alive, he's anointed for death Friday night by Mary. And that didn't make sense. He sends his disciples after a donkey so he can ride it into Jerusalem. Walks into the temple, overturns the table, and opens up the way to the Gentiles. Nothing makes sense here. It just is extremely confusing as to what's going on. Now Jesus Christ is walking down the street, and guess what he does? Curses a fig tree. You know, we might, if we're just reading this as a story, we think, boy, the stress finally got to him. Just finally did it. Just, well, that's it. I came in here and wanted to get something to eat, and the coffee's not even hot. I've had it. Curse this place. See? We get exasperated sometime in this kind of deal. Okay. People, I want you to see what's going on, because it's so important to Sunday morning. It'll be important to Monday morning. It'll be important to Wednesday on the cross. This whole thing of cursing the fig tree. If you will, take your text and open to Genesis 3. Wow, got to go all the way back to Genesis 3 to find out why he's cursing the fig tree a few days before the crucifixion. Why is he doing that? We've got to go to Genesis chapter 3. Now, there are in the garden three trees of issue. There are a lot of trees, but there are three trees at issue. The first tree that we'll note, the first one, is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat from that tree, Adam and Eve are told. Secondly, there is another tree, the tree of life. That's an issue in the garden. And then there's a third tree that's issue in the garden, and that is the fig tree. The fig tree. So we have three trees at issue in the garden. Now, what does the fig tree represent? What does the fig tree represent? I want to tell you right up front, without developing, going through, I'm going to tell you what it represents. What we have here, if in your mind you can get seeing this, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, this is Satan's tree. This is Satan's tree. This is the tree Satan likes. This is the tree he wants man to eat from. This is the tree of deception. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he conned them in, deceived them into eating. And instead of having great knowledge, they actually went blind spiritually. So that's Satan's tree. The tree of life, this is God's tree. This is God's tree. It's a tree of life. God's in the life-giving business. Then we have a third tree. It's a fig tree. Now, what's the fig tree? Where does it play? Adam and Eve ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. When they ate, instead of having their eyes opened, which they were beforehand, their eyes are now closed, and they are, as it were, blind spiritually. Therefore, they are spiritually dead. They're blind spiritually, spiritually dead. Spiritually dead. Now, which tree, to where should they go now if they are spiritually dead and they want to be alive? It's not a trick question. Where should they go? Tree of life. See? But what do? They go around the tree of life, as it were, go around the tree of life, and they go to the fig tree. What is the fig tree? The fig tree is man's tree. The fig tree is man's tree, and people, God plays this all the way through Scripture. He'll play this fig tree as man's tree. You take your computer or lexicon and just go through. All the times you find the fig tree. And you'll see what something going on. This is man's works. This is man's works. What did they do? They went to the fig tree, took the leaves off of the fig tree to clothe themselves. Human righteousness. Self-righteousness. Self-adornment. Self-work. And now that I am presentable, I can now bring myself before God with my production from the fig tree. So if you start getting in your mind, the fig tree is the work of man, production of man, the righteousness of man, you'll start understanding what's going to happen with the cursing of the fig tree tomorrow morning, meaning Monday morning's teaching by Christ, and then the cross. So here is man going to the fig tree for his work. Look at Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, which Christ never said it wasn't. People, you've got to listen to false teachers. We're seeing this in the study of Jude. The whole book of Jude is so important to the Bible. And the book of Jude, one chapter, but it's about false teachers. You've got to learn to listen. You may read spiritual religious things, or listen to other people teach, or on the radio, or whatever. Please, if you do it, listen. And even with me, listen. Listen to what's being taught. Because God never said it wasn't good for food. Something else going on. All right, anyway, the woman saw that the tree was good for food. This is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And that it was delight to the eyes, very appealing, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise. Now, what's funny is they were already wise. It's amazing how people, just walking by faith in the Spirit, just having faith in Christ to be saved, well, that's too simple. I want something more challenging. I want some deep stuff, or I want some emotional stuff, or I want something else. Can't handle the simplicity of faith. She took from its fruit and ate. And she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. Now, I'm not here to study this. There's so much going on there. Now, instead of being wise, they became blind. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked. See, it wasn't even an issue before, but now the pettiness is an issue. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings to cover themselves up. So what does the fig tree represent? what we do. The fig tree represents our clothing. It represents our righteousness. Why run to the fig tree? Why run to performance, people? Why do we run to Satan's lie? Why do we run to lie to law? Why do we run to preachers who tell us all the things we have to do and not do? And the Ten Commandments and all the commandments and the works and the doing and the performing. We saw this in our study in Jude. Basic instinct. The basic instinct of man. Now listen. We have this in a series of study. The basic instinct of man is to perform. The basic instinct of man is to do. Paul makes this very clear. It's not what Hollywood says it is. What Hollywood says basic instinct is not what the Bible says. The basic instinct of man is to perform and be rewarded for it. To perform and be recognized for it. Think about Cain. He brought his very best to God. God didn't recognize him. Why did he kill Cain, Abel? Why did he get upset with God? Because he had performed his own works and God said no. And when we have our works and they're not accepted and we're not praised for it, we don't get recognition, things happen to us. This is how we rear our children, little bitty. Before sex ever becomes a great issue, which most people think is a basic instinct, we work on basic instincts. Oh, that was so wonderful. Here's a candy bar. Here's a star. You get an extra hour. Whatever it may be. And all through life, it's the rewards. How many people, my wife doesn't appreciate me. My husband doesn't appreciate me. They don't appreciate me. What do we want? I've done this, and it didn't get anything. Now, this is accompanied with the basic instinct of, and I need to be rewarded for what I do, and punished if I don't. That's a basic instinct. That's not from God. It's a basic instinct of our flesh nature. To be rewarded if we do good, and disciplined and punished, and I don't deserve to be loved, I don't deserve anything from the world, I don't deserve this from my parents or my husband or wife or people. All of this stuff's not from the Spirit. It's from the flesh. So this is man, and you see it right here with the fig tree, running to the fig tree. And God takes off the righteousness of the fig tree, takes it off, casts it aside, and gives them his righteousness. He throws theirs away as worthless. Now, after eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, Adam and Eve knew something was wrong. They saw that they were naked, dead before God. They should have gone to the tree of life, people, but they didn't. They didn't do that. So what they did, they went to the fig tree to solve the problems. They went to works. They went to performance to solve their problems. Now, people, God has been playing this fig tree all along through Scripture. So instead of going to the fig tree, where do we need to go? We need to go to God's tree. Now, I'm going to just tell you right now, we're going to play this all out. This is going to become the cross. We need to go to God's tree, not our tree. Not our tree of works, but God's tree. And we do that by faith. Simply, easily, freely given to us. We go to his work. So, they went to their works, the fig tree, instead of to God's works, the tree of life. And this is the problem of man all through history. All through the history of man. This is the background for our study here. The cursing of the fig tree. I hope it now makes sense to you. Now, if you'll look with me at Mark 11. And I think the verse I want, verse 11, yes. If you look on page 178, just across the page, he starts verse 11 in Mark 11. That's why I gave you the Harmony booklet, so that we don't have to keep turning in the Bibles, but they have it right, these men have put it right here together for us in the New American Standard Version. So we have it right here with us. Now let's take a look at the Mark account. Mark chapter 11, verse 11. And he entered Jerusalem and came into the temple after looking all around. He departed for Bethany with the 12, since it was already late. Now that's Saturday night, day 9. Now verse 12. And on the next day, when they had departed from Bethany, he became hungry. Jesus Christ is hungry, never satisfied by man. Not in the past and not this time. Let me tell you something. Jesus Christ, God, never gets fed from us. Get that out of your mind. I have something wonderful to offer God. They never get fed from us. We have nothing to give them. He feeds us. He feeds us. Verse 13 of Mark 11. And seeing at a distance a fig tree in leaf. See, that means there should be fruit there. That's what's going on. We got three important words. Distance, he approaches. Seeing in a distance. If we spend a lot of time here, I'd show you how what he's seeing here is coming of the church age. And how works of man in the church age is not going to be tolerated. It's not going to be tolerated. It isn't tolerated in the age of Israel. It isn't going to be tolerated in the church. See, a fig tree, that's man. Man in the arena. Man, that's man's work tree. In leaf. The fig tree should produce fruit when there are leaves. What's going on here, people? What's going on here? How many so-called, maybe they are, maybe they're not, Christians and truly Christians are nothing but whitewashed tombstones? They look good. They look pure. They look holy. They look all this. But inside, dead. Whitewashed tombstones, Jesus Christ calls them. Preachers, deacons, Christians look good. And you would expect, because you look, boy, they look so good on the outside. They look so pure. They'd never commit big sins. They look wonderful. Inside, dead. Dead. When you get down to the real production, dead. It's a pseudo love. It's not the love of the Holy Spirit. It's not the righteousness of the Holy Spirit. Remember, Ishmael always looked good. Abraham's son, he was a male. Abraham was promised a male child. Here's Abraham's male child. He looked good. Until you see Isaac. When you see Isaac, you know, no, that isn't it. Ishmael's not it. So you walk, as he approaches, boy, there should just be such wonderful production here in the power of the Spirit, as it were. No, it's not. So continue verse 13. So we got distance, fig tree, and leaf. He went to see if perhaps he would find anything on it, and that means to eat. In other words, yeah, I love the wording here. This is not by accident. Went to it to see if he could find anything on it. Let's see if there's anything on this person that looks so great. Let's see if inside is the production of the Holy Spirit. Let's see if there is the reality of Christ there. Now look what it says. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. Reminiscence of the garden. Nothing but leaves. Here Jesus Christ came to the tree expecting to find something to eat, but no. Just a lot of show. A lot of hoopla. Looks really great. For it was not the season for figs. I was with a Christian last night talking to him. And I hadn't heard it in a long time. But the woman just started talking. Boy, I hate David. I hate any time our preacher talks about David. I don't like David. She had him down. She had him down. He's a womanizer. He's a murderer. I mean, she just rattled him off. And I looked at her and just smiled and says, and he's a man after God's own heart. Yes, and I don't understand that. And almost angry. I didn't do it. But we talked about it. See, what people want is someone like Solomon, Saul. Oh, they look so good. So good. All that wisdom. Until you start looking at the production of the wisdom, the source of the wisdom, all of this stuff, and you go, oh, ugly, dead. People, we've got to be able to see with spiritual eyes. For it was not, the end of verse 13 of Mark 11, for it was not the season for figs. That season is yet to come. That season is yet to come. Not the season. Now, when will be the season? I hope you get this. When will be the season? The sending of the Holy Spirit. The sending of the Holy Spirit, universal sending of the Spirit, then the season for the production of divine fruit will be in season. Some powerful things going on here. Verse 14. And he answered and said, he, Christ, answered and said to it, may no one ever eat fruit from you again. Now let me ask you a question. It's spring. You're walking through the park. And you see somebody cursing a tree. Just letting this tree have it. Just talking to this tree as though it was a person. Boy, has really flipped. I think we want to move on down the line here, hon. Let's just keep on walking. Leave him alone, him and his tree. Okay, those of you that have been with me in our study in Jude, he rebuked the sea. What have we learned by these things? There's more than a inanimate object, sea and tree. He's talking to in the spiritual warfare. He's talking to Satan. That's why the whole thing of creation and restoration. In restoration, there's turmoil. It's a God in conflict with the sea. What's the sea represent? Sea represents where the seven-headed dragon has been cast. He's talking to this tree. You. Now, what does he mean? Does he mean you, that tree? People, the tree is not the point. Forget the tree. What the tree is about. The tree is about our flesh nature. The tree is about who and what you and I are in the flesh and all that we would try to do. From the very beginning of Cain and Abel, right up to the tree here that we're studying, and all through history. People, God doesn't want your works and your production and your doing and your performance. Over and over He tells us that. Don't want it. You're not going to be able to do it. It's like a curse. Now, what's the curse of Cain? Curse of Cain, you're not going to be able to work the ground. You're not going to be able to work. You're not going to be able to produce, Cain. It's the same thing, people, if you let your eyes see it. So what is Cain going to have to do when Cain walks away? Cain is going to now have to what? Trust God for his food. If you and I cannot bear any fruit of our own in the flesh, what are we going to have to do? We're going to have to trust Him. If we're going to have any production, we're going to have to learn to walk by faith in the power of the Spirit, because we cannot produce on our own. It's been cursed from the very beginning and symbolically here for us again. You're not going to be able to produce. That's what this whole thing is about. So, church age, when you get here, you're that fig tree. You're not going to be able to produce, not ever. And anything you do in the flesh is just going to look good on the outside, but it's going to have no fruit. Fruit comes from the Spirit. And that's the only place it comes from. Not yours, but mine. So, verse 14, I love the wording. He answered and said to it, the tree, may no one ever eat fruit from you again. Now look at the next little thing. And his disciples were listening. They don't got it. They don't understand it. They're listening. I think we've got to give these people our own ideal or us. You know, we see Christ doing that. Well, what do you think, Philip? Thinks he kind of had it? Maybe we should have brought a bagel this morning. Some Philadelphia cheese or something. I'm sorry, I made some of you hungry. But we should have done something. Maybe a muffin from Burger King or something. But no. Here he is. He's just talking to this tree. They're just listening. They haven't grasped it. They haven't grasped it. Okay. So we've got to understand what's going on. What's the fig tree? What's the curse in the fig tree? Fig trees are works. Let's see if you have, man, have anything. Let's see if you have any fruit whatsoever of your own that will satisfy me. None whatsoever. So what does Jesus Christ do? He just curses our works. Places a plague on, a curse on the flesh work of man. We have nothing to produce. Nothing whatsoever. We've got to rely, therefore, on His works. And we do that by faith. So people, this is why man loves the law. Because the law is my production. This is why man loves to list. This is why man likes to be told, you've got to repent, you've got to confess, you've got to feel sorry, you've got to invite Jesus into your heart, you've got to make Him Lord. I want to do something. It's very difficult. It's very difficult for man. I want to have a part of this deal. I want to do something here for God. People, your fruit is nothing. It's dead. It's cursed. You have no fruit. We're going to have to rely on His fruit. So Jesus Christ comes, set a plague on it. Cursing of the fig tree, Jesus Christ is cursing man's work once again, and no one is to eat from it again. Eat means what? People, what does eating of fruit mean? It means to get strength from it. People, not going to get strength, spiritual strength, from all your works in the flesh. Not going to get anything. Anything, whatever you do. Between just things between husband and wife, family, friends, church, life, whatever. You can go out to be driving and say, you know, there's somebody, a street person, has a sign. I think I'm going to give him some money. Okay, he will benefit from the $10. Let's say you're doing it in the flesh. He'll benefit from the $10. Whatever benefit that may be, he'll benefit from it. But it profits you absolutely zero. And it means nothing in the whole plan of God. You do that same little thing in the power of the Spirit. Changes everything. It's His fruit. It's His fruit. And it may work so many different ways, the leading of the Spirit. If you know how to walk by faith in the Spirit. Well, I want to give this guy $10. Well, I want to be sure. So you put your faith in the Spirit. And I don't want to give him $10. Wow. Thought the Spirit was giving. And then another time you walk by, and look at a bum, he needs to get a job. And you walk in, you start thinking, you're in the Spirit, I need to go back and give him five. The Spirit-filled life, people, is a dynamic life. You don't try to say what he'll do in every case. You don't know. That's what makes it so dynamic. That's why, to me, women are so fascinating. You never will figure them out. Don't try. Just enjoy the ride. Just enjoy them. It's fantastic. But men try to figure them out, and then they get frustrated and get angry. Don't do that. Enjoy. Enjoy the Spirit-filled life. Don't try to figure it out. I know what He will do every time. No, you don't. Just when you think you know what the Holy Spirit's going to do every time, just like a woman going to do something different, entirely different. Where did that come from? You don't know. Enjoy the Spirit-filled life, people. It's dynamic. It's productive. It's fun. It's challenging. You always got to be right there in red zone, Spirit-filled life zone. Okay. May no one ever eat from you again. Do not eat of this fruit. It's going to do no good to anyone. So, like the fig tree, our works, our problem, our production gives nothing to Him. So many pastors, preachers, make an issue out of sins. People, we know sins are not acceptable to God. I hope every one of you know that. I hope you know sins are never acceptable to God. Well, it's just a little white lie. It's not acceptable. Well, it's not adultery. It's just a little anger, or a little jealousy, or a little lie, or a little vindictiveness, or a little covetousness. It's a sin. It's not acceptable to God. But people, multitude of Christians who would never think of doing some body sins or some big sins, some offensive sins, but they offer God their works all the time, day in and day out. They offer God their works all the time, their righteousness, their purity, their fruit. And what does God do with it? We don't want it. It's cursed. It's cursed. It's amazing how many Christians, they know the category of sins, and boy, they're really big on it, and all of this stuff. They know nothing about the Spirit-filled life, offering God fruit of the Spirit. Offering God back to Him what He has given. Did you hear what I said? You're offering back to God what He gave you. People, that's the way God works. I want you to love one another as I have loved you. I can't do it. Oh, you can't? Well, then I'll give you my Spirit who will pour that love in you. Now give it back. He never asks of you anything that He doesn't first give you. Faith, love, whatever it may be, God first gives it to you and says, now give it back. And it's up to you. That's why the parable, different men given different amounts of talents, different amount of money, and what they did with it. You're given, what are you going to do with it? You're given the indwelling and the empowerment possibility of the Holy Spirit. What are you going to do with it? You're given this ability. So what are you going to do with it? So men and women who would never think of some horrible sins, they are doing worse every day. They offer God their production, and He keeps saying no, no, no. So from the garden Man offering his own to God. Cain, this is going to be what we'll see when we start the study of Job. Boom. Man offering to God his good works and expects to get something from it. This is evil, people. This is what Jude is about. It's evil. Not your personal sins. What happened to your personal sins? What happened to your personal sins? Do you believe it? They were taken care of on the cross. Do you believe that or not? Did he die on the cross bearing them or not? So he died for them. They're not the issue. The issue is your false works. Your phony production. It looks so good. It looks so good to man. Oh, look at there, man. Look at all those green leaves. It's got to be great. Nothing. Dead. And rejected by God. What really is important is not our works. What really is important, the works of the Holy Spirit flowing through you when you walk by faith in the Spirit, and then the fruit comes out through you by Him. So we need to get rid of it. It's cursed. It withered away. This tree withered away. From Genesis on, your works withered away. Now, do we want production? Yes. Do we want fruit? Yes. Don't hear me. Yes, we do. But we want His production. His fruit. And against such things there is no law. Wherever you are, the fruit of the Spirit, there is no law. End of day 8. Now day 7. End of day 8. Now day 7. We move into Monday. Nice on the 12th. 6 p.m. Sunday to 6 p.m. Monday. So we're getting close now. Monday morning continues the discourse concerning the fig tree. The fig tree has been important to history, to God since the garden. All right, we left off at Mark 11:14. Let's continue there now at Mark 11. And we'll start at verse 20. Mark 11:20. And let's see if I can help you find it, or you help me find it. There's Mark 11 there. Let's see if we can find Mark 11. Here we go. Page 182. Mark 11:20. Mark 11:20. And as he was passing, and as they were passing, Christ and the disciples, Monday morning, walking with the disciples, as they were passing by in the morning, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots up. Whoa! Not just that tree, from the roots. People, this is his view of your production. This is his view of your performance. This is his view of anything we would offer him. When Cain offered him his best, to the fig tree, to now, right up to this. It was withered up from the roots. There is not anything good about your works, people. Now, I know they're good before man. We all would rather have a neighbor that's good in the flesh rather than bad in the flesh. We'd all rather say, we'd say that. We're talking spiritually. Spiritually, it's of no value. And our life on this earth means nothing as far as the flesh is concerned. So we have to deal with what really is important. It's withered from the roots. Verse 21. And being reminded, Peter, you always count on Peter to be the spokesman, open his big mouth. Peter said to him, Rabbi, behold, the fig tree which you cursed has withered. Well, surprise, surprise, Peter. Did it really surprise you, Peter? Jesus Christ cursed the fig tree? And now look at it. Unfortunately, see, people, he curses our works, but we don't see it like this. How nice it would be if we could see it for our own benefit. But it won't work that way. Why? Because we walk by faith. We walk by faith. There are a lot of things you have to always remember. That's your answer. Boy, I want to do what God wants. If you just call me, if you just email me, if you just in some way let me know. Man, I would love, and I'm serious, I would too. There are times I would love to sit down, okay, what's going on? And just lay it out there. What do you want me to do? Boom, boom, boom. People, please understand, that's why we walk by faith. Do you believe He will really lead you? Do you believe He'll guide you? Do you believe he will answer in that sense? Do you believe he will lead you from the power within, Holy Spirit within, or do you not? If you do, then walk by that faith and power and the leading of the Spirit. Verse 22, look what Christ says. Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Now, where in the world does that come from? Be honest. Doesn't that answer look out of place? Just be honest. Don't think too far ahead of it yet. You've come up to a fig tree. Christ cursed it yesterday. You walk by today. This will not be, because this is, I wonder what he would do with an artificial. It's artificial, huh? Is it real? Real? Okay, it's real. Well, we could curse it. We can curse it. Okay. Hey, I have artificial plants in my house. Give me a break. Okay. And they're doing well. No, they're not. They're dusty. All right. Now, so we walk by the next day and the tree's withered. And what do? Well, there's always a Peter in the crowd, no matter how large or small. Hey, look, it's a tree you cursed. It's withered. Have faith. Have faith. Have faith. Have faith that it'll still give me some figs? Because that's what I'm talking about. Think about that. What does that mean? Have faith in God. You got to follow through this. Where the disciples are, we're going to deal with it, but I want you to just think your way through this thing. Have faith in God. Sounds a little out of place here. Now, the phrase is good, isn't it? Have faith in God. That's a great phrase, right? We all agree to that. But sometimes it just seems out of place. Have faith in God. Okay. Have a problem with your garden? Just curse it. Is that the lesson? No. That's not the lesson. Every time you have a problem with your garden, just curse it. See, this like so many things this week, just is so confusing. And here's another saying by Christ. It's confusing. Okay, verse 23. Take a look at it. Truly I say to you, oh boy, great. We are so confused, it's about time that you told us something truthfully. We are really confused. We have been confused since Friday night. So we're looking for something where it's truth, truthfully. You gotta have a lot of understanding. We don't have time here. We will when we go through. When we get to chapter 12 of John, I'll take a lot more time with all this fun stuff. But how did Samson talk to Delilah? He talked in riddles, lies. He lied to her three times. There's so much. And I speak openly. I speak in secret. Speak in truth. I speak lies. There's just so much that we have to be able to flow and to grasp. So here he speaks truthfully. Did he add that when he said to the rich young ruler, I speak to you truthfully, fulfill the whole law, and you'll be saved. You'll enter the kingdom. No, he didn't say I speak to you truthfully. He just said keep the whole law. Because that's not the truthful answer. So there's so many times we have to just be able to be right there with what's going on. All right, have faith in God. Now, look what he does. Whoever says to this mountain, what mountain? We're looking at a fig tree. Now he talks about mountains. See, people, I told you, don't try to figure women out. Don't try to figure God out. Just enjoy that journey with him. Just enjoy every minute. Be able to change gears in your mind immediately. Be able to go from looking at a fig tree, it's withered, it's not bearing fruit, it's all over, he cursed it yesterday, have faith in God, whoever says to this mountain, you've got to be able to go from here to there immediately. Now, I don't know how much faith I put in all this kind of stuff, because I haven't done enough work and all that, but they say that the female mind can do that. It's like this. And they say that men's minds are one thing. And they just fully concentrate on that one thing. See? Well, if you're going to enjoy the Spirit-filled life, boy, you got to be able to go from a withered fig tree to a mountain that isn't even there. And you got to be able to do this quickly. See, this is the dynamics of the Spirit-filled life. This is great stuff. Okay, so let's see what we have happening here. Whoever says to this mountain, okay, we've got a mountain. Where does the mountain fit in with everything else? What does this have to do with the fig tree? Okay, we've got to understand what mountains are. Do you understand what the fig tree is? Fig tree represents man's works. Okay, you got that. Now, so we've got the fig tree down. We got the fig tree down, and that's man's production, man's works. That's Satan's lie. Basic instinct of man. All these kinds of things that we're studying. Here's man's performance. Remember Satan's lie. My performance plus others, my self-worth is my performance plus other people's opinion of me. So here's man's performance. Now we're going to talk about mountains. Or a mountain. So here's a mountain. What does the mountain represent? I'm going to tell you right up front so that we can move on here. The mountain are obstacles to faith inside you. Not outside, but inside you. Mountains are obstacles to you just trusting Him inside. Let me jump real quick so you follow me. We've crossed the Red Sea, and we've made it to Jordan. And we look across Jordan, and there lies all the obstacles to faith. There's giants, and there's a lot of them. Oh, there's milk and honey over there, but there's some big guys, and they'll kill us. We're not going to walk. They're obstacles to faith. They're obstacles to just trust in Him. What did the dog, you know who that is, that's Caleb. What did the dog say? The dog said, let's go, I can take them. God's already given me that land. It's mine. And I want that highest hill with the biggest dogs on it, with the biggest giants on it. I trust God. God said He'd give it to me, I'd take it. Everybody else? Nope. It's too big. So people, we have obstacles. Now that is physical obstacles to our physical faith, but they represent what's going on in your soul. Inside of you are many obstacles, and some of those obstacles are mountains. Mountains to stop you from walking by faith, not in Jesus Christ as Savior, but as Christians, walking by faith in the power of the Spirit. And some of those mountains are doctrines. There are people who have been taught by false teachers, and they have doctrines that are mountains to just walking by faith. No, you don't walk by faith in the Holy Spirit. You've got to do for God. You've got to confess. You've got to repent. You've got to feel sorry. You've got to be set aside. You've got to do this. You've got to do that. You can't just trust God. Mountains in our souls. Doctrine's a big one. By false teachers throughout the church. Goals, objectives, people. A woman is an obstacle. A man is an obstacle. Making money is an obstacle. All kinds of fear is an obstacle. Hate's an obstacle. Anger is an obstacle. I'm angry at God, so I'm not going to walk by faith. I'm angry at what He did in my life. I'm angry what He did to me. I'm angry what He did to my parents or my friend or somebody. We've got obstacles. We've got mountains built up in our souls. Stop us from walking by faith. So this is what the mountains are. Obstacles, big obstacles to block our faith. Obstacles inside of us. And people, I want to be sure you follow me. You got big obstacles in your mind. And in your soul to stop you walking by faith. The amount of faith. The answer is not you got to have a mountain-sized faith. Don't do that. Here is this big old mountain stopping you from a grain of mustard seed. Remember, the standard of measurement before God of faith is always the grain of mustard seed. Just a little more than nothing. And here is this big old mountain, this big, big monster. And He's standing there in the side of our soul, this big stronghold. It's got a stronghold on us to stop us from that little bitty grain of faith of trusting Him. And this is what He's talking about at this time. getting ready for the walking in the power of the Spirit. So the giant, these are giants, these mountains are strongholds in the soul to put us into fear so that we do not simply trust Him. We've got to rely on our works. We're going to rely on our production. We're going to rely on something. We're going to rely on man. We're going to rely on a system. We're not going to rely just on trusting Him with simple faith. That's what's damaging the church. It has all through church history. These obstacles inside, these mountains, these strongholds inside our soul to stop you from walking by faith and trusting Him and relying on your own performance. No, I have got to do something. That is one of the biggest obstacles, mountains, strongholds of the soul, because it's our basic instinct. I have got to do something for God. I've got to do it. No, I didn't have to be saved. It was just faith, grace through faith. But now that I'm a Christian, I've got to do for God. If I want to be restored from sin, if I want to be blessed by God, if I want something from God, I've got to do something for Him. People, that's a stronghold. And when I say stronghold, it's just strong. A mountain is this insurmountable object in front of you. Just, it's this big mountain. We don't know big mountains in Dallas. We know big freeway overpasses. But we don't know big mountains. But you go out into Colorado, Montana, and mine are over in Switzerland when I saw. And it's just mammoth. You just see. Unbelievable. That's what a mountain is in your soul. It's a stronghold that says, don't just trust me. Don't just walk by faith. Don't just rely on me to lead you. You've got to do for me. You've got to perform for me. The fig tree, our works, in opposition to His works. Our fruit in opposition to His fruit. Israel, like all of us, looking for the fig tree. Looking for what they can produce. Now, instead of just having faith in God, see the parallel. What I'm doing is bringing in the parallel now. He went from the fig tree to mountain. Israel, like all of us, every one of us, we want our production. We want our doing. That's the fig tree. What do we need to do to get His fruit? Not our fruit. We need to walk by faith. No, I can't do that. My doctrine says no. This says no. My doctrine says no. My basic instinct says no. There are mountains in my soul that will not let me just walk by faith. How do we get rid of these mountains? How do we get rid of the strongholds in the soul? People, one of the primary reasons that so many Christians experience stress, anxiety, and depression is because of the strongholds in the soul. One of the primary reasons why Christians do not walk by faith in the Spirit, people, have absolutely nothing to do with Bill Clinton. It has absolutely nothing to do with all the beer joints in the country. It has nothing to do whatsoever with all the homosexual preachers in America. It has to do with a lot of established churches teaching a lie that you have to perform for God in some way rather than just trust in the one He sent. That's what keeps more Christians away from the truth. Got to die. In order to do that, you've got to remove the mountains in your soul so that you'll just rely on Him for your production and you won't go to that fig tree. You'll rely on His tree. This is a powerful thing we're studying here. And I'm sorry that time has run out on us. And we'll pick it up right here. And we'll see how to get rid of this stronghold. How to get rid of this mountain. How do I walk by faith? How do I walk by faith when everything against me in your life, disease, illness, cancer, divorce, lost dreams, lost hopes, relationships, whatever it may be, things, just finances, how can I just walk by faith? People, you got strongholds. I want to tear them down. I want to get rid of them so that you can just walk by simple faith in the one that He sent. That's what He's looking for. Started off with the woman at the well. The time is coming when He'll look for that rare breed who will just walk by faith. Not by performance, not by law, but just trusting. But there are mountains. Not just little things to overcome. There are mountains, strongholds, stop Christians from just trusting Him. Let's close in a word of prayer. As Christ moves closer to the cross, things that he talks about become even more important. As hours close in, the important messages have to be given. The essentials have to be dealt with. Pray your Spirit will give us Tuesday and Wednesday night as we continue this. The spiritual eyes to see why Jesus Christ picks the things that he does to teach hours before he's going to die. These are his last words. These are the important things. These are the final messages. I pray we'll grasp the meaning, the intensity to our own individual lives. We praise you, Heavenly Father, in your Son's precious name. Amen.